We begin the current daf Masech the Shabbos of Kuf Nun Zayin, the last daf Masech the Shabbos. We begin three lines up from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf. That is, we had a Machlekes, three Amarom stating that the Halacha follows Reb Shimon, three Amarom stating the Halacha follows Reb Yehuda. And this is regarding the old Machlekes that we had throughout Masech the Shabbos, regarding how broad is the application of the Halachas of Mukta. And that is, Reb Yehuda holds is a very broad application. And that is, for example, of, let's say, an animal that was alive when Shabbos started, during Bein HaShemashes, and it only died, it became an Avela, a carcass, on Shabbos. Reb Yehuda says that it's considered mukta for it to give it to the dogs, and that's because since when Shabbos started, it was considered fit for human consumption, which would normally not be given to animals. Therefore, even when Shabbos comes and it becomes an Avela and it's fit for animals, it's not considered fit for the animals because it was not considered prepared from before Shabbos, and therefore it's going to be mukta. Whereas Reb Shimon holds a much narrower understanding of the halachas of mukta. And therefore it's going to be mutter for the animal to be given on Shabbos. And one of the opinions that said the halacha is like Reb Shimon was the opinion of Reb Yochanan, to which the Gemara asked a question on the previous daf, and the Gemara continues asking on our current daf, that is, how could Reb Yochanan say the halacha is like Reb Shimon, when we know Reb Yochanan says in general that halacha is like Stam Mishnah. When we have a Mishnah, an anonymous Mishnah without a specific author, we say that Reb Yehuda Hanasi did it to tell us the halacha follows like that opinion. And we asked on the previous daf that it seems that there was an opinion of an anonymous Mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda, and then we said that it wasn't anonymous, it was attributed to a certain Tana, and Rabbi Yochanan does not hold like that Tana. Our Mishnah, our Gemara continued that, with that same question, that it seems to have a Stam Mishnah that says the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. Toshma, we learned in the Mishnah Masech Tzibeya. Maschilin ba'aremas ha'tevin, that on Yom Tov initially one could begin to use for fuel a pile of straw. And now the Gemara thinks now that we're talking about spoiled straw that's not of great quality, and therefore generally it would be used for fuel, and that would work even according to Yehuda. It would not be considered muktzah to use it for fuel, because it's not as generally would be used straw for animal fodder. Because here the Gemara thinks that it's talking about the type of straw that would be used for fuel. So that's okay, you can go ahead and use that for fuel even initially on Yom. There's no problem for muktzah, it's considered prepared for fuel, because you're not using it for anything else. However, the Mishnah says of a loy be'etzim sheba muktzah. However, regarding the wood that's in the muktzah, and that is, this is wood that was placed behind one's house, and there was an open area behind the house, where there that wood is reserved for the winter months for specific things, for other purposes. And this area in what's basically the backyard of the house was called the muktzah, because that was the area where they would set aside items that was there to be used for long-term storing. So therefore we see that this Mishnah seems to be an anonymous Mishnah without any specific author, like Rabbi Yehuda, because it's telling us that this wood that's in the Muktzah, since it's not specially prepared to be used for fuel, because it's set aside for long-term use, not for this Yom Tov, therefore you cannot go ahead and use it on Yom Tov, that seems to be like Rabbi Yehuda, not like Rabbi Shimon, because according to Rabbi Shimon, why would this be Muktzah? It doesn't have to be specifically designated to be used. That's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. And yet we see that this Stam Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda, and how could Rabbi Yochanan say Halach is like Rabbi Shimon if a Stam Mishnah says, like Rabbi Yehuda again, that even this wood, which of course could be used for fuel, but since it wasn't designated specially, it was put away for a long period of time that has to be taken out according to Rabbi Yehuda and specifically designated, that's going to be Asa, that's like Rabbi Yehuda, not like Rabbi Shimon. And that the Gemara says that Hasim Ba'arzi Vashuchi, that Mishnah is talking about by male cedar trees and female cedar trees, which basically are very expensive, and that they're designated for building purposes. With there, even Reb Shimon would agree to mukta machmas chesar kis, because they are mukta. They're considered set aside because of a specific principle of mukta, which is because of their loss of money. Since they're very expensive, even Reb Shimon would agree that it would be mukta, and therefore it's not a stam mishnah like Reb Yehuda, because that mishnah could be like Reb Shimon, because Reb Shimon agrees, although he argues on the larger context of muktzah, it doesn't mean that it doesn't hold the muktzah in any sense of the matter. He agrees to the principle of muktzah regarding when it's chisar and kis, when it's something very expensive and we don't want it to get ruined, that even Reb Shimon would agree that since this wood was told about it's expensive wood, which is generally used just for building, even Reb Shimon would agree that it's muktzah. So the Gemara continues asking on Reb Yochanan Toshmab, we learned in the Mishnah in Beya, that says, Ein mashkin, one is not allowed to water, which Rashi tells us is just picking a case that it really means all different types of handling of a certain type of animals, but it's just because they're talking about skinning the animal when you slaughter it, so it uses water which facilitates the skinning of the animal. But the point is, you're not allowed to water v'sheichten es amadbarius, and to slaughter the animals that stay far away. They're not generally here in the town, they go far out. They're considered something that's muktzah, and it's not something that you could shecht on Yom Tov. Av a mashkin v'sheichten es amayosas, But you are allowed to go ahead and water and slaughter the animals that are generally around, that they go ahead and they go out to pasture in the area not so far, and they sleep at night within the boundaries of the city. And therefore, that seems to be exactly like Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, that it's not considered muchad, prepared, because of these midbarias that they go far out. According to Rabbi Shimon, there wouldn't be a isra muktzah. You don't have to mentally designate it specially. It's similar to the other case of when the woods behind the backyard, or like the nevela that became a nevela on Yom Tov, that according to Rabbi Shimon, that should not have a halacha of muktzah. And yet here we see that the Stam Mishnah in Be'ah is saying that you're not allowed to go ahead and slaughter these midbarias that are far out. That seems to be like Rabbi Yehuda, not like Rabbi Shimon. That the Gemara says, although there is a Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yochanan Stam Achrin Ashkach. Rabbi Yochanan found a different Stam Mishnah, which would be the equivalent to equal out this Stam Mishnah. That's why he could paskin like Rabbi Shimon. And as Rashi explains, although this Stam Mishnah, this anonymous Mishnah, is not really anonymous, it's really Beis Hillel that paskins like Rabbi Shimon. He considers that enough of like a stama that there is no one that argues on that Beis Hillel. And the effect that although Beis Shammai does argue, but Beis Shammai b'vakam Beis Hillel lav Mishni, so that's what it means to say that although he generally paskins like a Stam Mishnah, which would be like Rabbi Yehuda, but here since he has another source of Beis Hillel that seems to be saying like Rabbi Shimon, that's why he paskins like Rabbi Shimon. As the Gemara says, we learned in the Mishnah, Beis Shammai oimrim magibin ma'ala shulchan atzames v'klifim. Beis Shammai say that after a meal, a person can pick off from the table the bones and the peels. They're not considered muktzah. Beis Hillel oimrim, no, that you can pick up the bones and the peels. But misalika satavla kulaminar, you can pick up the whole entire table and to go ahead and throw that out. And that's the way you can get rid of the peels and the bones, but you can't actually move the bones and the peels. To which the Gemara said, V'amr Rav Nachman, onlo ein lono. We don't have such a version. That's not our version of the Mishnah, that Beis Hillel is being machmer, which seems to be like Rabbi Yehuda, and that Beis Shammai is being maker like Rabbi Shimon. El Beis Shammai k'Rabbi Yehuda, u Beis Hillel k'Rabbi Shimon. Rather, our version is the other way around. Beis Shammai was the one that says you cannot move the peels and the bones, rather you have to take the whole table and move it that way, which would be that he'd be machmer like Rabbi Yehuda, that it is muktzah. And Beis Hillel was saying like Rabbi Shimon again, so that is the reason why Rabbi Yochanan could say that Allah is like Rabbi Shimon, although there is a Stam Mishnah, an anonymous Mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda, because since we have the opinion of Beis Hillel saying like Rabbi Shimon, that's why he passed like him, that you can move the bones and the peels, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan is one of the three that says Allah is like Rabbi Shimon. Now the Gemara continues regarding other machloikas, and again, under this rubric, this general category, that there's many machloikas of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon regarding the applications of muktzah. There's many different types of muktzah, and now the Gemara elaborates with the machloikas of Iram regarding the machloikas of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, and what is the exact halacha regarding these different aspects of muktzah. So the Gemara says, Pligibar of Acher Avinam. These two Amiram argued. One said, halacha follows Rabbi Shimon in all of Hilchos Shabbos. And that means when it comes to all these halachas of muktzah, we're going to follow the more lenient approach of Rabbi Shimon. Labarmi muktzah machmas mis, except for the muktzah of because of things that are disgusting, that there, although Rabbi Shimon has a more lenient approach, there we are machmas like Rabbi Yehuda, that it does have the halachic aspect of muktzah, that it's going to be muktzah if it's something that's disgusting. And therefore it's set apart and it has no utility, and therefore you can't move it. Umayni, and what is that? That's ner yashan, an old candle. That is the candelabra that's made out of pottery and earthenware, and that's when it's used, it gets disgusting. You can't use it for any other purpose. And since it's disgusting, it is muktzah, and the halacha will not follow Rabbi Shimon over there. But the other one that Amiram says, no, it's not true. Even things like a klish, a ner shel cheres, the halacha follows Rabbi Shimon in his more lenient interpretation of muktzah. Levar mi muktzah machmas isra, except for the case of muktzah, because of something that has an element of prohibition to it. That is, there's an isser in using it for a different purpose. Since it has an isser, a prohibition for a different malacha of Shabbos that's related to it, therefore we apply to it a halacha of muktzah also. Umayni, what would that be? Ner shed liku baba isser Shabbos, it's talking about a candle that was lit that Shabbos, that since it has an isser attached to it, that something related to this candle has one of the lamates malachas of the isser of kibuy, of extinguishing it. So since there's an isser attached to the utilization of this candle, therefore we also apply to it an isser muktzah, that now you can't even go near it, you can't move it, and that is where we say that although everywhere else halachas like Rabbi Shimon, that it's not muktzah, here it would be muktzah by a muktzah machmas isser. Avol muktzah machmas chasarin kisp. However, regarding a muktzah, because of something that is very expensive, and we're afraid that it's going to get ruined, there I feel Rabbi Shimon Moedah, even there Rabbi Shimon would agree, as we said before, that it would have the halachic status of muktzah. Tanan, as we learned in the Mishnah, we learned it previously, kol hakelim detolim b'shabbos. all vessels can be moved on Shabbos, and that is even what's called a kli shemalachti le'isr, even a vessel that's generally used for a prohibited purpose, for example, a hammer, which is used to do one of the isuri malachas on Shabbos. There, this Mishnah is obviously like Reb Shimon, who says that all vessels, even if it's a kli shemalachti le'isr, again, not to be confused with muktza machmas isr, which is not something that's used for isr, but rather it's muktza on Shabbos because of the isr that's in it right now, that is some isr applying to it, which would be the problem of extinguishing it on Shabbos. Here we're talking about all vessels could be moved, that is, if again, like a hammer, which is something that's generally used for an isser. Now you want to go ahead and use the breaker, but nuts, you let him move it. Chutz mi meser agadol, except for a large saw, v'yeseh shemachresha, and regarding this nail, so to speak, of the plow, which is something that they would use, that would go ahead and be used in part of the plowing purposes, that these two things, for example, by the large saw, which is used for the craftsman, that they use it to cut the wood, and it's what's called muktza machmas chasaron kis, as we explained. Reb Shimon agrees that since it's very expensive, we're afraid of it getting ruined. That is, regarding the teeth of the saw, it's made like indentations going in and out, which is very necessary for its product. We're afraid if it's going to be used for something else, that might get ruined. And similarly, regarding this yeseh shemachresha, which is used for the digging in the ground, that is also muktza machmas chasaron kis. There we say that although that mission is obviously like Reb Shimon, because he's saying that every vessel could be moved, which would include even the klisha malachta le'isr, which again only like Reb Shimon, and yet still he agrees by these two cases, which are muktza machmas chasaron kis. That's again that we said that these two amirim agree that halacha follows Reb Shimon in all of halachas of muktza, but they argue about what are the exceptions where we don't pass in like Reb Shimon. But there seems to be that regarding muktza machmas chasaron kis, there even Reb Shimon agrees there is an element of muktza, which would be that there it would be because it's expensive. However, he has a more limited view of it versus Rabbi Yehuda, who has a more broader term and a broader interpretation of halachas of muktza. Now we can begin the last mishnah of Masechta Shabbos. Mafirim nedarim b'Shabbos. One is allowed to annul the vows on Shabbos, and there's two terms regarding nedarim when you want to undo a vow. There's either what's called hafara and there's what's called hatara. Being made for the neder is what a husband could do to a wife. He could just do it without any questions asked. B'yayim shamei, on the day that he heard it. So that a husband could be made for, he could annul the vows of his wife on Shabbos. V'nishalem, and also one could ask to a chacham, to a sage, which is what's called being mater neder, which is permitting it when he finds some way out of that you wouldn't have made it had it been in that type of situation. You would have known the ramifications. He finds a way to permit the vow to undo it. You're allowed to do that also, l'nedarim shein tzarich l'Shabbos. You're allowed to do that on Shabbos for vows that have a purpose for Shabbos. And that is, for example, let's say he took a vow that he's not going to eat today, and that would include Shabbos, and that there's a mitzvah of it. And Shabbos is there's an element that's necessary for Shabbos to eat. And therefore, not only allowed to do the hafar that the husband for the wife, a person could also go ahead and request by the chacham to go ahead and permit to be matur his neder on Shabbos if it has a purpose of a Shabbos. Then the Mishnah continues, upaykikin esamor. One is allowed to close the window. That is, there's a machlokes in the Gemara we had before on Chafayim and Beis, and that is like the opinion of the Rabbanan, that they say one is allowed to go ahead and close the shutter of the window in spite of the fact that it's not attached. We don't say it's concerned as if it's like binyan, but boina, like it's adding onto the building and you're building. They hold it's not a problem, and that's what our mission is following, an anonymous mission telling us, like halachas like the Rabbanan, that it's not a problem about to go ahead and shutter the window on Shabbos. Our mission continues, Umaydidin esamatlis. One is allowed to measure a rag, and that is for purposes to know if, let's say, has the measurement of 3 by 3 finger breadths in the width. For example, if, let's say, it was tummy, to know now if it touched something that was tar, it has to have that measurement to go ahead and convey the tumma. Therefore, allowed to measure it to know for halachic purposes to see if it is something that's going to transmit the tumma to something else. And similarly, umaydidin esamikvah, allowed to measure a mikvah, again, the same type of a purpose to see if it has the depth of 3 amas. And the width of an amma squared, that's again the measurement of a human being, to see that if it has the requisite measurements for tefillah, and that's necessary on Shabbos, if someone, let's say, has to be tovel in the mikvah. Now the Mishnah brings a story that illustrates some of these halachas. There was a story that happened with the father of Reb Tzadik and the father in the days of Abishol, the son of Bitnis. That they closed the window with an earthenware jug. The kosher as a makida, and they tied a klicheris, an earthenware vessel, begami with a reed. And the reason why they did this was leida am yesh begigis, to know that if it has in the jug, if it has Peseach Tefach Imlav, if there's an opening of a Tefach or not. And the Gemara is going to explain exactly what this was. There was a certain story that they had these reasons why they were doing all these different things. However, from their actions, which it says their words, but in other words, from what they did, we learn, related to the halachas we were saying in our Mishnah, Shep Paikikin, one that you're allowed to go ahead and close and shutter the window, which is what we spoke about. Umaydidin, and you're allowed to measure, again, if it has halachic purposes. The Koshin, you're allowed to go ahead and tie a kesher, a knot that's not shel kayama, that's not there to stay. Even like a tchil, even initially, there's no problem, there's no even rabbinic problem with that. You're allowed to go ahead and tie a knot that's not meant to last. But Shabbos, you're allowed to do all these three things on Shabbos. We learned that from that episode, which the Gemara is going to explain exactly what was that story to show what these three things were. Now the Gemara goes back to explain the beginning of our Mishnah. Ibailu had the following question regarding the first halacha that you're allowed to be mefer, a husband, when he hears his wife make a vow that he doesn't want her to have. He's allowed to go ahead and be mefer b'yom shama, and the day that he hears it, he's allowed to go ahead and say, it's not a good vow, and that's it. So the question was, hafar, regarding the annulment that we learned in our Mishnah, was it bein letzarech u bein shaloi letzarech, that he's allowed to annul whether they're the Shabbos purpose or not? And that is, by hafara, it says that the husband's allowed to go ahead and annul it only, it says in the Pasuk in Bamidbar Perek Lamed, b'yom shamay, on the day that he hears it. And that is because if he doesn't do the hafara, if he doesn't annul today on Shabbos, he's not going to be able to annul it anymore after Shabbos, because only on the day that he hears it he could do it. And therefore, whether there's a Shabbos purpose or not, it doesn't make a difference. There's still necessity for it to be done today, and then we can do it even if there's no Shabbos purpose. However, b'she'elo, but only regarding requesting from a chacham, from a sage, who he undoes it, and that's not necessarily only on the day that the vow was made, that only litzarech in shalei litzarech loy. There, it would only be if there's a Shabbos purpose that you're allowed to be go ahead and do a b'matir the nether by a sage, but if it has no Shabbos purpose, then you would not be able to, because there you could go ahead and ask it to mark. You could go any day and have the chacham go ahead and undo it. And therefore, as the Gemara says, Mishum Hachi, Kifleginu Ma'adadi, and that's why the Mishnah said him in separate cases, which it first said, Mafirim Nadar B'Shabbos, it said it separately one way, and then it said, Nishal Nadar M'Shein L'Tzarech Shabbos, then regarding She'ela, it said it separately to tell you that we didn't say Mefirin v'nishal l'nadarm v'shein l'tzarech ha-shabbos. We didn't say together that you could be mefer and request your nadarm, which is to be matter them by a chacham l'tzarech Shabbos. Because this element, this requisite of l'tzarech, only if it has a Shabbos need, was only going on the second case of she'elah, being matter the neder, because that doesn't have to be done today. But hafar, which has to be done today for it to go into work, for it to be valid, has to be today. And therefore, you're allowed to do it even if there's no Shabbos purpose. That's one option. Oidim, or maybe, hafara nami letzarech in shalei letzarech lai. Then no, maybe. Maybe hafara also can only be done if it has a Shabbos purpose. Now let's say she took a vow she's not going to eat, and therefore she's not going to mekayim her mitzvah einik Shabbos, the shalosh shudas, therefore he's allowed to do hafara. But if it doesn't have a Shabbos purpose, then you're not allowed to, in spite of the fact that if he's not going to do it today, he's going to lose out, and he's not going to be able to be made for it anymore. But it seems to be that they are different, that because that they say it separately, hafara is said in its own sentence and then she'ela in its own sentence, and it wasn't joined together, which makes most sense. It doesn't that sound like that's because that only litzarech is going back on she'ela, not on hafara. And the thing where it says, no, it's for a different reason why they're said separately. The hafara ain't tzarech bezen, because the hafara, which is what the husband does, doesn't require bezen, it doesn't require a chacham. However, she'ela, requesting it to be undone, that requires a bezin, that requires a chacham. Since they're different fundamentally, that's why they said differently, but not to infer that hafara could be done even shaloi letzarech. It's only letzarech, just like she'ela. That is the question that was posed. So Toshma, the Gemara brings a clear raya. To Tani Zuta, the Beir of Papa, that Zuta learned from the Yeshiva of Papa, that he said, Mafirim nedarim b'Shabbos, that a husband could be mefer, he could annul the vows on Shabbos, letzarech ha-Shabbos, for the purpose of Shabbos, which it shows the Litzarech HaShabbos in, only if it has a Shabbos purpose, then he's allowed to annul it. Shalei Litzarech HaShabbos le, but if it doesn't have a Shabbos purpose, not. And that is even by Hafara, which once the day is gone, it's not B'yom Shama anymore. He can't annul it. It doesn't make a difference. On Shabbos, you could only do it if it has a Shabbos purpose. If not, you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos. Now the Gemara brings Lishna Achina, a different version of this question with different ramifications of what the implications of this question would be. Ibailu, they asked the question as follows. Litzayrach. When it says in the Mishnah that you could only undo the vow, litzayrach, if it has a Shabbos purpose, atarveyu katani, as we said before, is it going back on both cases, meaning on hafara and on shehela, on to be matter the neder? And therefore, v'shaloi litzayrach lai, and therefore if there's no Shabbos purpose, then not, that even hafara, if it's shaloi litzarech, you would not be able to do that on Shabbos. So what would that mean? That would mean, that would, we could infer from that, that alma yusi hafaras nedar me'es le'es, that to annul the vow from the husband to the wife is available to be done for a 24-hour period. And that is this, that it says b'yoyim shamay, on the day that he heard, there's a question that this ibayaluhu in the Gemara is applying to. And that is, does b'yoyim shamay mean the day means a 24-hour period? Or does b'yoyim shamay mean on the day, that is, even if it's a minute before shkia, before sundown, it's only for that day. Once that day passes, it can't be done anymore. And therefore, this version of the question that's saying that even hafara would only be able to be done letzarech, but not shalei letzarech, sounds like that it's obvious that it would be for a 24-hour period. And therefore, this person that heard his wife make a vow on Shabbos, he could go ahead and annul it, be made for it on Matzah Shabbos after it's dark, because it still will be within 24 hours of when he heard it. And therefore, if it's shaloi litzarech, we did not permit it to be done at Shabbos, because although it sounds like, wait a second, but it has a purpose, it has to be done today, because or else I'm not going to be able to nullify it, it's not true. You could do it within 24 hours, and even after Matzah Shabbos, it still will be within the 24-hour period. Or maybe, like we said before, the other version of the question is, when we said it has to be for a Shabbos purpose, it's only going on the request of the Chacham. But regarding the first case, that's why it said it separately, as we said, regarding the husband nullifying his wife's vows, that could be done even if not for a Shabbos purpose. If it was like that version of the question, Alma, that we would see, that to nullify the woman's vows is only that day, and that is until it gets dark, but not further than that. And even if he heard it just like a few minutes before it gets dark, and therefore, even if it's shaloi letzarech, with no Shabbos utility, that because since if he wouldn't be made for it now, he would never be able to be made for it anymore, therefore, he's allowed to do it even if it doesn't have a Shabbos purpose. That was the question about what these two ramifications. One about, can he do it, can the husband nullify his wife's neder on Shabbos, even if it has shaloi letzarech or only letzarech? That was one part of the question. But this second version of the question adds on this other element that would also have the ramification about how long can he be made for. Is b'yayim shamay a 24-hour period? Or is b'yayim shamay only up until sundown? That would be related to the other, to that same question. And that the Gemara says, as we said before, Tashma, Titani Rav Zuti Debei Rav Papi, that Rav Zuti from the Yeshiva Rav Papi said, Mafirim Nedarim B'Shabbos Litzarech HaShabbos, that you're only allowed to go ahead and nullify the wife's vows on Shabbos only if it has a Shabbos purpose. That is, Litzarech HaShabbos, and if it has a Shabbos purpose, yes, Shaloi Litzarech HaShabbos Loi, that if it doesn't have a Shabbos purpose, then not. On that, the Gemara says, Almas, obviously you see, Hafaras Nedarim Me'ez Li'ez, that a husband that he has the ability to nullify his wife's vows, that's for a 24-hour period from when he heard it. And therefore, if it doesn't have a Shabbos purpose, he's not allowed to. From the fact that we saw that you could only nullify it only if there's a tzarech, obviously, what I mean, that's the biggest tzarech that you have, because or else you're not going to be able to undo this anymore. It's not true. You will be able to be undoing it even after it's night already. It still will be b'yayim shamay, because it's still within the 24-hour period. And that the Gemara asked, that this that we clarified, and we said that it's that b'yayim shamay is for a 24-hour period, but Amar Avashi, v'adnan t'nam, but we learned in the Mishnah in the Dharm, Hafaras nedarim kol hayoyim, that to nullify the vows is the whole entire day. The Mishnah said that there are leniencies for this, and there are stringencies for this, which basically means to say that sometimes it's going to be a long time, it'll be leniencies, and sometimes it's going to give it only a few minutes, and that'll be a chumrah in this halach of kol hayoyim, and that is ketzad, as the Mishnah explains. Nadra leili Shabbos, if she made her neder, her vow on Friday night, so made for leili Shabbos, v'yayim Shabbos, achetechshach, so you can still nullify the whole entire Friday night, the whole Shabbos day, until it gets dark. That would be a leniency. However, Nadrim Chashecha, if she makes her neder by like Shalosh Shud this time, by Mincha time, right before it gets dark, Mefer Achalei Techshech, that he could only nullify it until it gets dark. Shimli Hofer, because if he doesn't nullify it before it gets dark, Mishach Chashecha in Yachal Hofer, when it gets dark, he cannot nullify it anymore. And therefore, we see in this mission in the Darim that to the contrary, the halacha of being made for the neder is b'yayim shamay only on the halachic day. That is, even if it's a few minutes before it gets dark, once it's dark, it's over. Not a 24-hour period. So that seems to contradict what we just said in the Gemara before, that it's going to be for from Rav Zuti in the name of the in the Yeshiva Rav Papi, that's for 24 hours. And then the Gemara says, Tanoi, it's a machloikis, Tanoim, this question that we had in the Gemara. The Tanya is written in the Braisa. Ha first nedarim kol hayoyim. The Tanakama says you can be made for the neder the whole entire day. Once it gets dark, it's over. Even if it was a few minutes before that she made the vow. Rabbi Yisrael bar Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar bar Shimon Amar, they both say mi eis li eis. It's for a 24-hour period, and therefore the question we had was actually machlokes tanoim, which besides the ramifications about what's b'yom shamay, seems to apply to the question about if the husband would be able to be made for a neder on Shabbos. Only Letzarech, or even Shalei Letzarech, again, because that's related to the same question. Now the Gemara continues explaining our Mishnah, that said, B'nishalom l'nedarim, that you're also allowed to go ahead and request by a Chacham to be mati the neder, to find some way out of the neder that you had done, if there's a Tzarech. So Ibailuhu, the Gemara had the following question. When we said in the Mishnah that Nishalom l'nedarim, Shehen Letzarech, that you could be requesting by the Chacham if there's a Shabbos purpose, Kishaloi hoyuloi pinai, was that only if you didn't have time and the availability on Erev Shabbos to go ahead and be matir your neder, and therefore they would lean you because you didn't have any way out of it. But if you had a way out of it, it would be a problem. Or maybe even if you had time, it doesn't make a difference. What do you mean? You could have done it. Why are you doing it on Shabbos, which you're not supposed to do these things on Shabbos? As we see that if it's shaloi letzarech, you can't do it. No, even if you were able to, but still on Shabbos, if you didn't, if there's a tzarech Shabbos, then you're allowed to go ahead and be matir neder. What is the halacha? Another Gemara says, Toshma, we could bring up clear proof, this Dakiku Le Rabbonin Rav Zutra Bered Rav Zeir, that we find that the Rabbonin were involved in being Matir the Neder, where they were involved with the Neder of Rav Zutra, the son of Rav Zeir, Bishar Le Nidra, and they permitted, they were Matir his vow, V'afagav Dehav Le Panayi, and even though he had the opportunity of undoing it on Shabbos, but he didn't make a difference. He went to the base of Medjah, whatever it is that he was doing, and then on Shabbos he went ahead and his matir is neder. From there we see that even if you had the availability on every Shabbos, it doesn't make a difference. If it's a tzarech Shabbos, you're allowed to be matir the neder on Shabbos. Now the Gemara continues with that Mishnah, with the Maisa that we brought in the Mishnah regarding Shepakuku Esam Oir B'Tfiach, that these two Tamid Chacham, they went and they closed up the window with this jug. The kasher has some akida begemia that they tied the earthenware vessel with a reed. And that is where we saw that the three halachas that we find from this story that are permitted to be done on Shabbos. So the Gemara explains what was this exact story that happened that they had done these things. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Marav. Hilkati Ketana. There was a small little path, an alleyway, Haisa ben Shnei Batan, that was between two houses. And there was Tumma there in that alleyway, again, between these two houses. We continue on to Amud Beis. The Gigas Seduka Munachas Al Gabon. And there was a cracked barrel that was on top of that alleyway. And that is, there was a corpse that was lying there in the alleyway under this barrel, and it was facing the area of the barrel that was cracked. Upakuku Esamor B'Tfiach. And therefore they went, and the people in the houses closed up, they shuttered the windows with this earthenware jug. And that is before the corpse died, as he was dying, they went and they closed up the windows with this tfiach, with this jug. And the reason is because maybe the crack in the barrel that was over on top of the corpse, that maybe it was not open a tefach. And therefore, the corpse that's lying underneath it would convey tumah to everything that's in the alleyway with halachic aspect of oil, of that it's being in the tent, because this barrel was being mahal, was, so to speak, a tent over the corpse. And therefore, if there's no opening, it's going to be considered one tent, and therefore it's going to bring the tumah to all the houses if there's openings from the alleyway into these houses. Now, if it would have had a crack the size of a tefach, then we would say that the tumah would go through that hole, and then it would go through up like the Shemaim, and it wouldn't go ahead and have a halach of oil to convey around. Now, they would consider that maybe this barrel does not have the size of a tefach of a hole, and therefore it will be halachic oil, and therefore it will not go through it, and it will go into the holes that's between the two houses. It will go ahead and convey the tumah if there's a hole the size of a fistful, which it has because the windows are open. Therefore, they close their windows, they close their walls with an earthenware jug. On that is, the outside of the jug was facing the alleyway. And that is, since a klicheres, an earthenware jug, or any earthenware vessel, does not convey tumah or get tumah from the outside, and therefore it is halachic chatzitza, it interposes between the tumah that's in the alleyway and the house. So that's why they went and shuttered the windows with this earthenware jug, to go ahead and provide like a chatzitza to block out the tumah that was in the alleyway. The kashu es makida, and they tied the earthenware vessel, that which had the width of a tefach, they tied it begemi with a reed, later to know that they tried fitting this through the hole in the barrel that was on top of the alleyway, because they wanted to know im yesham begigis pesach tefachem lav, to see if in the barrel, in that jug that's on top of the alleyway, it had the opening the size of a tefach or not. And that is because if it, as we explained, that if it had the hole the size of a tefach, then it wouldn't have the tumas of oil, and then wouldn't be a problem anyway. Even if their houses would be open to the alleyway, it wouldn't go ahead and be like one big tent. It would go through and shoot up, and it wouldn't go to the sides because it has a hole the size of a tefach. And Rashi tells us the reason why they used the gemi dafka, a reed, to go ahead and tie around this mikida, this klicheris, this earthenware vessel, which was used to go ahead and measure the hole, which that was a tefach, and therefore they wanted to see if that vessel would fit through the jug on the barrel on the top. Because if it does, that means it has a hole the size of a tefach, and therefore there's no tumah problems at all, because it's going to go through and not have the halacha of oil, is because this gemi, this reed, is fit for animal food. And therefore, a person, even if you're tied around the klicheres, this mikida, that's being used to put through the barrel on the top, a person would not be mevatlet there for it to be what's called a kesher shel kayama, that it should be an eternal knot, because you're not going to be mevatlet there. You're not going to nullify it there and keep it there on that klicheres, because you want to give it for your animals to eat. And also because the reed, it when it dries up, it falls apart, and therefore it's impossible for it to be kesher shel kayama. And therefore, these are the three halachas that our Mishnah said we learned out of that story. That the kashira, the tying of the knot of what's called she'ena shel kayama, that's not an eternal knot. That we learned out that they had done that when they tied, they were kashri as a makida with a gemi. They tied it around this klicheres with the reed, that the reed, as we just explained from Rashi, for two reasons, that's not considered kesher shel kayama. And therefore, we see that you're allowed to do on Shabbos. The second halacha we learned from them, that they did a medida, they measured to see if that barrel on the top of the alleyway had the hole the size of a tefach, again, because it had a halachic purpose, a halacha of tumah. And the third halacha we learned is the one of poikik and achaloin, that they shuttered the windows. Again, they did it with a tefach, with an earthenware jug, to go ahead and block out the tumah. That's the idea, that they blocked it up, that we see that you're allowed to do all these three halachas. It's not a problem of binyan, of boina, of adding onto the building. These are the three halachas, again, of kashira, medida, and pekika, that we learn in our Mishnah. We learn from that story that these things are permitted to be done on Shabbos. Now the Gemara concludes by stating from that the Mishnah said, umedivreim lamandu, that from their words, from their actions, we learned that shapaykin, that you're allowed to close, you're allowed to shutter the window on Shabbos, no problem of binyan. Umoidin, you're allowed to measure, v'koshin, and you're allowed to go ahead and tie something that's not shel kayama, that's not eternal knot, b'Shabbos on Shabbos. So the Gemara concludes with a story that Ula iklul be Resh Galusa. Ula went to the house of the Resh Galusa. Chazi le Rabbi Bar Avuna, he saw Rabbi Bar Avuna de Yosef ba'avna demai. He was sitting in a bathtub full of water. V'kamoshach le, and he was measuring it. So Amalei, he said to him, I don't understand you. When did Rabbanan say in our Mishnah this heter, this permission of medida, of measuring on Shabbos? There was medida de mitzvah. There was a measurement that has a mitzvah purpose, as in our case, which was by the story that had a halachic aspect to it, to know if there's going to be the conveying of tumah or not, which is a mitzvah to know regarding these halachas of tumah. The lav mitzvah miyamit, but if did they ever say that it's permitted to measure things that don't have a mitzvah purpose, that's also to be done on Shabbos. And that he answered, Amalei said to him, Misasik ba'amana, I'm just distracted. In other words, what I'm doing, I'm not doing for any purpose. I'm just busying myself with something. And therefore, that's not even considered medida. That wasn't included in the isra at all of measuring, because what am I doing? I'm not actually doing a functional, purposeful, constructive measuring. And therefore, that's permitted to be done, even though it's not a medida shel mitzvah. Hadnalach Misha Hechshech, we shall return to you the Perek Misha Hechshech, the 24th Perek Mesechta Shabbos, Veslikala Mesechta Shabbos. And with this, we conclude the Mesechta of Shabbos. And just to paraphrase the words, the famous words of the Siyim, just like Hashem has helped us to conclude and to finish the Masechet of Shabbos, so Hashem should help us to begin other Masechetes and other Svarim, and to have the ability to complete them too.